Hi, welcome to the Dan Bradbury podcast, where turnover is vanity, profit is sanity, and cash is king. In this podcast, I'll bring you resources, tips, interviews, and lots more to help to grow your business and make it less dependent on you. Hi, I'm Dan Bradbury.
And I'm Topher Morrison.
Welcome to the Dan Bradbury podcast.
Thanks for having me on your show again today as a guest host. Appreciate that. Someday we might want to actually have a conversation about why I'm a guest host on the show. But for now, I say we just keep people guessing.
I wonder why you're on this podcast every single day.
as do I, my friend. Every day or just once a week?
Every day.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, let's talk about current events. What's going on in the business news world today?
Porn.
Excuse me?
Pornhub.
Pornhub is in the news again.
Once again. All right. Well, specifically, it's now having a kind of insidious, toxic effect. So there was a lady who was sadly exploited. A video was filmed when she was underage, and her now ex-partner uploaded it to Pornhub, and Pornhub were running ads and making money off it. So she sued them. But now they've expanded the claim, and a judge has ruled that Visa, as in the credit card company, Visa can be sued.
They can become liable now.
They can become liable because they, I forget the specific legal term, but they didn't stop it. So they facilitated Pornhub in monetizing this lady's tragic abuse.
So I have two opinions about this. One is my visceral emotional reaction to this, which is good. Sue anybody and everybody affiliated with that, because I just have no tolerance or patience for that revenge porn shit. It's just got to go. I think it's just... In fact, by the way, have you seen... There's a new show on Netflix called The Most Hated Man on the Internet. Have you seen it?
No.
Absolutely worth watching. It's a documentary about the guy who... I don't want to say he invented revenge porn, but he was the first to monetize it. He had this website, and people would upload. And I mean, the whole documentary goes into women begging him, pleading, "Please take these off. I didn't give you permission to do this." And he's just like, "No, it's not my problem." And he's just an ass. Like, you learn to hate this guy pretty quickly. So that's the visceral side of me, right? It's just like anybody who's affiliated with that shit should absolutely be sued. But then I sit and I go, okay, legally, what did, morally, is Visa wrong for perpetuating it? Absolutely. But legally, how would they know one way or the other, right?
Where does the line get drawn?
So there is that side, but I'm so lit up emotionally about it, I'm just like, good, yeah, I like that, I support it.
Yeah, well, so it goes without saying whatsoever. I mean, any kind of abuse, that kind of stuff, that's where I think the world... fortunately, seems to be moving in the right direction. Still a long way to go, but there's less tolerance.
By the way, I mean, I don't object. I mean, if somebody wants to subscribe to Pornhub, I don't care, right? But at least make sure that the footage is voluntary, willing, as of age, and on the up and up, for crying out loud. That's just the...
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two business lessons related to this that can apply for every business owner, kind of moving away from the sexually graphic topic. One is... before we talk about the legal side, one is just don't get involved with anything that's like close to the line. Right. Whether that should be to do pornography, but whether that should be anything dubious, ethically, morally, tax evasion. Yeah. It's kind of like, if you're not comfortable, my personal opinion is, taxes are a huge expense, but if you're not comfortable in having the conversation face to face with a tax inspector, don't do it.
Or your mom in the room.
Yeah, right. That's another great test of your moral compass. Yeah, it's like, or to make my weekly Warren Buffett reference, I think he says...
Oh, we still got to get the graphic of Warren to put him up on the wall, so we just have his face there. But
Well, anybody that can be worth $100 billion, give or take, having given away tens of billions in his lifetime from scratch, is well worth paying attention to.
Hell yeah.
But effectively, he's saying, if you're not comfortable with it being plastered on the front page of every newspaper in the country, don't do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's bang on. So there's a sense check first before you get into the technicalities of the legal. But even beyond the high level, is this ethical? Is it moral? Let's kind of keep it well between the lines.
Yeah.
There's the you can sometimes do everything right and still fall foul because you haven't got the legal boxes
checked.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, yeah. That's, I mean, I would have to say out of all of the, like, you have six main areas that you help business owners focus on. You'll do an assessment with them, find out where they're strong, find out where they're weak, take the weakest one, make it the strongest one, then go find mm-hmm. the next weakest one. And I love that system, and I love the six areas. Legal is one of those.
Yeah, 100%. In fact,
it's the hardest.
It's probably the most neglected.
Yeah.
Because
thank you. That's the word. Not hardest. It's the most neglected.
Right. Yeah. And the reason why is it's, because people justify it to ourselves like, oh, well, we're doing everything right, like, so there's no problem. But think about it, like, it's the thing that's most likely to destroy your business, like a black swan event.
Yeah.
Like one thing takes you out.
Yeah.
You miss one thing. You know, it's a bit like different contexts. But people are driving and they get distracted by a mobile phone. They hit somebody. They die. You go into prison.
Yeah.
Right? Because you cause death by dangerous driving because you are looking at your mobile phone.
Yeah.
Right? And it's one of those things where nobody looks at their phone thinks that they're ever going to have an accident.
In fact, they do the opposite. The reason why they text
correct.
Is because they think they're so switched on they won't.
Right, correct. So like they think that they underestimate the risk, and it is long odds. Like the odds statistically of, I mean, probably most people listening to this drive cars and have driven for a long time, and I suspect there is very few or nobody that listens to this podcast that has killed somebody when driving. I hope.
You never know.
Right.
Oh. Apparently I have a guest that wants to jump in here and say hello. Hi.
Special
how you doing?
Guest.
So for those of you listening to the podcast, my dog has decided to interrupt, which is always a good reason to go on the video and watch the whole show.
Right.
Not because of your ugly face,
right.
but because of my cute dog.
Cute dog.
So I appreciate you interrupting. Yeah, really do. But we are filming a show, so I think you need to kind of just chill out. So can you go lay down? Okay, good talk. See ya. All right. What the heck were we talking about?
We're talking about legal, so it stuns me, Topher.
Oh, you were talking
how
about
how people underestimate risk, right?
Yes.
So I was using the analogy, killing someone under. But there's so many risks that are long shots, and most business owners just ignore them all.
Yeah,
I'm going to say everybody knows of somebody that's got in some kind of major lawsuit, and it's a major distraction. And I actually want to flip the script, as it were, on this topic that people are scared of legal things because they go, oh my God, it's so expensive. It's a hell of a lot more expensive not to have the insurance policy.
Yeah.
And actually, the fact that all your competition don't do it gives you a significant advantage if you're willing to even get mildly educated in this area.
We were having a conversation earlier about this, just something so basic. And I don't know, we need to dig into the British law on this one, but I would suspect that it's very similar. The US and the UK are so similar with so many of their things. I'm sharing with you that, like in the States, everything is by law copyrighted the moment you put it into print, whether you put it online, put it in print, it's legally copyrighted. And here's a great example. So even if the UK's not the same, this is a great example anyway, because what happens is so many entrepreneurs now in the U.S. go, well, I don't have to file my copyrights with the Trademark and Patent Office because it's automatically, by law, since this law changed, it's automatically copyrighted. And that's true. But here's something that most people don't know. While, yes, you are legally the owner of the copyright, unless you actually file the copyright with the Patents and Trade Library of Congress in the U.S., whatever it's called, you cannot sue anybody for violating your copyright. So, yeah, you can sit there and shout from the rooftop all day long that you own it, but you are not able to sue that person.
Well, it's funny you should mention this. I could tell a story, but I can already hear in my ear. I don't have an earpiece in, but I can already hear in my metaphorical earpiece my lawyer screaming at me, we are not
check,
lawyers.
Yeah, we're not
so
lawyers.
I,
yeah,
so,
yeah, check,
so
I, yeah.
So it's not exactly the yes. same, but... That's the point.
Oh yeah, the lesson here is that people just think
they make
oh,
assumptions.
Yeah, it's easy. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to focus on it. And they've by the way, and in fact, this can even go further because they heard some Yahoo like me say that. They think well,
they're
I'm
making
covered.
Assumptions.
Yeah,
right.
When you really got to dig a little bit deeper on that one.
Right. Yeah, and it can destroy your whole business. And people make the assumption. So what goes behind that is they make the assumption like, oh, getting it sorted has to be expensive. You know what? You can get educated. You can get educated there's a variety of ways and places where you can go to get a base level education. You don't have to go to a lawyer. In fact, it costs you more, not only if the Black Swan event happens, but it costs you more, because if you as a complete rookie just go into a lawyer, you know, another Warren Buffett plug, never ask a barber if you need a haircut.
Yes.
Right? If you're going in, do I need this? They're going to say yes. But how do you know if you're grossly overpaying or you're underpaying?
How do you?
How do you find the sweet spot? Well, let's be simplistic. You need to get deal flow, but you also need to get you need to get educated. You need to understand the base
and
premise.
And by deal flow, you mean you need to interview more than one attorney.
Well,
you
yes, but also just being around other business owners. I mean, I remember back in 2013 when I or 12 when I did my first big exit, my first seven-figure exit. Took 3 months off. We went out to the Caribbean, having a great time, not going to do any work. Day number two of my semi-retirement.
Right.
Day number two, I'm on a sunbed, and I end up coaching the guy two sunbeds over. Right? Right. Our kids are playing in the pool. And he had an amazing business, right? He had a business. It was in the horse supplement space, a very lucrative niche.
Yeah.
You wouldn't... Unbelievable how much money this guy was making.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's got a big, successful business, and tens of millions. And yet he's freaking out of his mind. I'm like, why? And he'd been served with cease and desist for infringement of copyright. Mm. And he was absolutely, oh my God, this has never happened. And he was in such a panic because he just didn't have any references. Mm. He sent me, I said, show me the letter. Yeah. I'll do this for free. I've just sold my company. I looked at the letter and I just looked at it, scanned it. And I was like, I'm not an attorney, but I scanned it and went, yeah, you got nothing to worry about. Yeah. And he said, how do you know? And in short, because I've seen a lot of these things and seen how they play out.
That
like,
deal flow, yeah.
He's just trying to protect himself and game you. So he was worried that he was going to have to lawyer up and go heavy, when actually he literally could have just said, no, that's not true, taking down the offending piece of copy that he put up on his website and said, no, it's not true. Mm. And the other guy would have backed off, which I said, you've got to get legal advice.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But that's exactly what he did. And subsequently, he built a relationship with the guy who was threatening to sue him, and they ended up doing a JV.
Wow.
But that came from him being freaked out and stressed, and he would have spent a lot of money and time. And you've got to remember, the real cost is the opportunity cost. It's the opportunity cost of him being distracted and not having his head in the core business.
Mm, interesting.
Right? But how do you know when it's a real risk and, no, you've got to give this all your attention versus... no, this can be handled very quickly and easy versus, nope, I should have done this upstream. I should have filed the patent, or I should have got the shareholders agreement, or I should have got the terms of business, or I should have covered myself with GDPR, or so on and so forth, right? And people just don't get the base level knowledge, which means they give a disproportionate amount of money and time and stress.
Yeah. Wow, that makes a lot of sense. All right, let's do this. It's such a natural segue. Let's go into the business fail of the week.
Business fail of the week is Dyson.
Dyson, the vacuum cleaner company?
Right. So Dyson have been sued by the health and safety executive and been fined £1.2 million for a health and safety violation of allowing a 1.5-ton milling machine to fall onto a worker. So
wait. Okay, how heavy of a machine?
1.5 tons.
1.5 tons. You're the math guy, so I need you to do this for me, okay? 1.5 tons equated to a $1.2 million fine.
Pound. Yeah.
Pound. 1.2 million pound fine.
Yep.
That's not even a dollar, or so. It's not even a pound for pound. No pun intended.
I think the fine was actually would have been a lot higher. Fortunately, the person wasn't seriously hurt.
Oh, no, it would be a pound for pound because it was 1.5.
You're spending too much time thinking about this. Maths isn't your strong suit.
No.
Right. So,
I don't have a calculator.
So, focus. Basically, they didn't follow proper procedures, and the person got hurt and could have been killed. Easily could have been fatal, and so it's a slap on the wrist.
Wait, it didn't kill her? It just fell on her?
Him? Yeah, it fell on him. Apparently, it was head and chest injuries, but They were putting a wheel on this machine.
It was hell
propped
of a block.
Up. It yeah. propped up. It fell off the blocks, and that's when wow. it did the damage. But
I wouldn't pick that guy in a bar fight. That's for sure. If he can survive,
just brush it off.
Yeah. I'm all right. Can you replace the shirt?
Yeah, this is, yeah, it's a beast of a man. Yeah. Well, and here's a point. I think it's the risks that you don't see that will kill you.
Yeah.
So like, this isn't about. Health and safety. Mm-hmm. This isn't about copyright. It's about all of it. Mm-hmm. It's what you don't see is going to cost you money.
Yeah. I can give you a great analogy. I can give you a great direct personal account of this, by the way, which I've always been impressed with. So one of my business mentors, a guy named Steve Klein here in the States, very successful CEO. And I went and toured his factory. And it was a LED manufacturing company. And we go back into the warehouse, and every one of the forklift machines, they're all robotic. They're not, they can still be driven by humans, but they can't go off of, they're on a track.
Okay.
Like, so they've got this little infrared thing or something that reads it. So as soon as it goes off track, the engine dies. And it was very expensive to install this. And he said, I've been around long enough to know that forklift accidents are never a question of if they're going to happen. It's only a question of when it will happen. And by me installing this safety precaution, we've never had an accident on a forklift ever. And I was like, that's a great example of taking the time to invest the money and the energy and the focus in something to prevent something which is preventable.
Yeah, no, I like that. I mean, it reminds me of the Dragon's Den. In Dragon's Den, there was a lady there.
I said Stephen Klein. Steve Parker. Different friend. But yeah, I want to make sure I give him proper credit. Steve Parker.
Steve Parker.
Yeah, brilliant man.
So it reminds me of the Dragon's Den. There was somebody with a nursery or some kind of child-related business. And the dragons basically went, this is a great business. Cannot invest in it. You know why? They said, the risk is too high.
Choking hazard.
What do you mean? Well, they just said, all that has to happen is a member of staff has to abuse in any way, shape, or form any child.
Child, yeah.
And then even though it was... The staff member, the whole business name, brand gets tarnished, yep. and the business fails.
Yeah,
right. So it's some risks you can legally protect, some you can't.
Yeah.
So you've got to think about this stuff because it can be a black swan event that can destroy a whole business.
Why do you think entrepreneurs don't think about it enough? Like, is it just one of those things where we're so inherently optimistic that we just don't want to be burdened by the what could go wrong things? Like, la 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 la.
I don't think it's conscious. I think we've got to be blindly optimistic to be crazy enough to be
right,
entrepreneur.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
right?
Yeah,
so we see the upside. We see something like that and see what could be possible, how it could all work out. But it's interesting of the thing that got you to get going in your business is the thing that will prevent you from progressing.
Yeah.
Like, I love this analogy. It's kind of like the very things that caused you to be crazy enough to think that you could make XYZ company work against all the competition, yeah. despite having no capital or whatever disadvantages you overcame to get going, is actually that same blind optimism.
You know who I'm thinking about right now? WeWork. Right? Perfect example of
that. I was
that.
Looking at one of theirs this morning here in Tampa, and I was telling yeah. story, Chad the story. I mean, crazy, but that's
yeah,
definitely
yeah.
a topic for another time.
Let's do this. Let's move on. Let's talk about the hero of the week. Who is your business hero of the week? Who do we want to highlight to give some focus on?
This week's hero of the week is Jody Rogers from Symbia Partners. Symbia Partners are a corporate training company, but she or her company are absolutely crushing it with a new leadership development program called The Edge. Mm. I mean, check them out at symbiapartners.com. But
And why is she the entrepreneur of the week with a legal theme?
Right, because her business, if I go back into the pandemic, imagine you go into companies,
yeah.
big corporates to do face-to-face training, and it was all dependent upon her. Yeah. Over time, she's removed her workload from 100% down to 10%, I think, of the delivery herself, so that she's got leverage in the team. But this was the real brilliance. The Edge is this program. She went from doing it for individual companies to having a lot of different companies place people in this ongoing program. So mm-hmm. it's a recurring revenue program. So from a business owner perspective, mm. she's created mass stability and recurring revenue
yeah.
like all in one go. And if I'm honest myself, when she came up with the idea, I was like, wow, this is a tough enough nut to crack. Mm-hmm. And even I was kind of going, I'm not sure if this is going to work. But that lady is absolutely crushing it. Rock star. I haven't asked her permission, so I won't talk about numbers. All I'll say is she's breaking new record revenues for her at a rate of knots. Incredible margins. This lady's got shit together.
Yeah, very cool. All right. Well, then let's move on. Let's talk about book of the week.
This week's book of the week is not actually a book. It's a podcast and a special deviation from the rule.
Leave it to an entrepreneur to break the rules. I say all we need is a book of the week. And then he comes to me and he says, I don't have a book. I'm going to go a podcast. Typical entrepreneur thinker here. Kind of got to admire
It's not a book. It's a guideline. So it's not a rule. It's a guideline. Perfectly in line with the theme that business owners don't. I'm always telling our mastermind members, you're missing this. You haven't got a shareholders agreement. You're crazy. Get this stuff together. And one lady went out there and has created a great resource, a podcast that's called What's the Worst That Could Happen? What's the Worst That Could Happen? And it's stories of entrepreneurial, like small businesses.
I love that.
So Suzanne Dibble is the lady's name. I was actually interviewed for this podcast recently. But it's great because it's just interviews with entrepreneurs, small businesses, and it discusses what are their legal challenges, what happened. So like mine, so... as a plug for her podcast on my specific episode, if you go and find Suzanne Dibble, What's the Worst That Could Happen?
Yep.
Dan Bradbury episode, I don't remember what number it was. Mm-hmm. It talks about the first time that I got sued. You know who I got sued by? Celebrity? Paul McKenna.
Oh, the British...
hypnotist.
Yeah, British hypnotist.
Yeah, it's a TV celebrity. Less famous now than he was.
Can't stand that guy, actually. Wrote
loads of books. Well, actually, I subsequently got to know him. Uh-huh. I mean, the details are in the podcast, but
I'm sure he's a wonderful human being.
It details. Well, actually, it's a side note. I hired him as a speaker. I hired him as a speaker for one of my events. So several years later.
I was going to say before or after he sued you. After.
After. Yeah, so you got to go to the podcast, check out Suzanne's podcast to find that backstory. But it's interesting that I was in a panic, blah, blah, blah. And it was relatively easily quick when I got some advice from a mentor. It wasn't the lawyer that helped. It was somebody that had been there, done that, and looked at it and went, this isn't a problem. Just do this and it'll sort itself, itself out, right? But when Paul was backstage, I say, how do you want to be intro'd? And I'm going to have to clean up this language a little bit. So,
since when do you ever clean up your language?
Yeah, well, all I'm going to say is I'm going to replace the word Paul used with the word puppy. So he said, I said, how do you want me to introduce you, Paul? Like for this audience of X hundred people, how do you want me to introduce you? And he went, you can say whatever the heck you want. Just don't tell them that I'm a puppy. I went, okay, I can do that. So I went on stage, went, hey, little gentleman, you know him, you've heard of him, it's Paul McKenna, and he's most definitely not a puppy. And he went on and rocked it. But like, even even by my standards, the substitute for the word puppy is not suitable for this podcast.
Fair enough. All right, cool. All right, anyway, so check out the podcast.
By the way you use that word, it did endear me to him. I'm like, we're brothers from another mother.
That's funny. Anyway. All right, the podcast is Somebody Dribble.
What's the Worst That Could Happen by Suzanne Dibble.
Suzanne. I ask.
And she is a lawyer. So get it right. Get a name right.
Suzanne Dibble, What's the Worst That Could Happen?
That's it.
I have to check that one out. I've not listened to that, so it sounds like a damn entertaining podcast.
It's a great podcast.
Sure. Yeah, all right, cool. All right, let's wrap it up and send us out with a motivational, inspirational quote.
Yeah, so in line with the theme, this week's quote is by Dan Pena that says, litigation is a legitimate business tool. I love that because people get scared by the law. It's actually an advantage if you educate yourself in that area. Yes.
Also, by the way, another guy I don't like.
He's not everybody's...
No, man.
He's not... Yeah. But
here's the thing. I don't like him, but I don't know that I can disagree with anything I've heard him say.
I was going to say, you don't have to like somebody for them to have some smart lessons that you can learn from.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. All right.
So on that basis, if you want a better business, You need to be a better business owner.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. Three things you need to do now. Number one, make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you do not miss an episode. Also, get on over to Amazon to get a copy of my latest book, Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity, 9.5 Steps to Improving Your Profits and Cash Flow. Also, join our Facebook group, the Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity community, to connect with other business owners.